to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
Luke, the sixth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes your goods away, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is a continuation of last week's gospel. It all comes from the so-called Sermon on the Plain, or the Sermon on the Level Place, where Jesus teaches us some things that, I don't know about you, but I find them pretty darn challenging. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who abuse you. Turn the other cheek. Give them the shirt off your back. Give without expecting anything in return. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Instead, forgive. Most days, I don't do all that well with those things. If there was a scorecard, I would fail. Fail pretty badly. Even the part where Jesus, you know, shares what we call the golden rule. Even that, you know, do unto others as they would do to you. That's got a measure of reciprocity in there, but even that I fail again and again. If this was a scorecard. Fortunately, this teaching of Jesus is not a scorecard. Let me say that one more time. This teaching of Jesus is not a scorecard. Because if it were, we would all fail miserably. Instead, I believe Jesus is giving his disciples and you and I a glimpse of what his kingdom is like, what the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God that was fully embodied in the life and ministry of Jesus, and by extension, is visible partly in and through us as well. This kingdom of God, which characterizes the very nature of the God we serve. Our God is not a God who operates by standards of reciprocity. You know, quid pro quo, you give and then you get back, I'll do for you what you do for me. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Our God doesn't work that way, like the world does. Our God is not a God who only blesses those who are worthy. Our God is not a God who only gives on the basis of gifts received. Our God is not a God who only loves the lovable and who only forgives the righteous. Our God is very different from this world. In Jesus, we see a God who loves unconditionally, even you and me. A God who blesses lavishly, who forgives even those who are totally undeserving. We see a God who doesn't keep score. Now, this describes a very difficult way to live. For us, sometimes almost impossible. When Jesus chose to live that way, he faced rejection and mocking and eventually even death on a cross. Some have said to him and to us, this way of living is naive. It's not realistic. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's so difficult. Don't even try. But that would be a mistake, to not even try. And an even bigger mistake, to hear this as just a new rule book by which we can measure ourselves over against others. Aha, I'm gooder than you are. No. Even worse, dismissing this all as an appeal simply to be Minnesota nice, to be better than your neighbor, by a little bit, just a little bit. Now, in this sermon on the plain, the level place, I believe there's a deeper purpose at work, that insofar as we can, we might model the character of Jesus to the world. That's a tall order, by the way, but that the world might see in us how we live differently, how we think of our neighbors differently, how we react to them differently, might give others a glimpse of the kingdom of God. They might see the character of a God who is different than the way that the world perceives things. A God who reigns with gentleness and mercy, the gentle rule of love and forgiveness and grace, without limit and without condition. I believe this sermon on a level place, as it's called, is a call to a fuller, deeper discipleship, where you and I can be those through whom others see the nature of our God, the nature of our Savior, when we live by a different standard and paradigm than the rest of the world. As Jesus' followers, we have a calling. Let me put a thought in your mind. We have a calling, I would say, to be good for nothing. I know that's normally a put-down, but being good for nothing, being good without looking for anything in return, loving for nothing without expecting love in return, forgiving for nothing without waiting for someone to show remorse, loving, forgiving, serving, giving, doing all of those things not because you got to, not because some rule says it's mandatory, but because you're so touched by the love of God that you want to. You want to be good for nothing in return. A willingness to love, do good, lend, give for nothing, as Jesus did. And through us and our feeble example, others might see that the reign of God, the kingdom of God, the Savior we serve is different than the way the world understands it. That is how the kingdom of God works, you know. That is the nature of our God, who has given and continues to give the riches of his grace, life, hope, forgiveness, freely, for nothing, no strings attached. We are blessed by a God who is good to us for nothing, that we have done. That's the nature of our God, and that's the nature of our discipleship, modeling that overwhelmingly loving, merciful God in our lives. We're called, I would say, to be good for nothing. In our lesson, three times Jesus asks this curious question: what credit is it to you if you love someone who loves you? And what credit is it to you if you do good to someone who does good to you? And what credit is it to you to lend to someone who will later lend something to you in return? Now that sounds like the life that we live in our modern world, doesn't it? But there's a catch here. The Greek word that is used for credit is charis. That word is normally elsewhere translated as grace. So let's paraphrase this a little bit. What grace is this to love only those who love you? What grace is this in your life if you only do good to those who do good to you? Is it grace in your life if you only lend to someone you can get something in return? Is it grace? Because you see, that's the kingdom of God in you and in us, the grace of God. The grace that is freely given without ever expecting anything in return. We model that grace of God, and we proclaim that alternative kingdom of God where we love others for nothing, where we accept others for nothing, where we forgive and give and pray for others for nothing, when we do good for nothing. Not because we have to, but because we want to, because we trust a Savior who has pulled, if we know it or not, a paradigm shift on the cross, where he was no longer counting whether we've earned or deserved his love, but then tore up the ledger because there is no scorecard anymore. He was good for us for nothing. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand.